This morning we'll be in chapter 3 of Isaiah, a continuing saga of our lives, a revelation of the life that's within us. And I'll begin by reading chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor, and the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, and be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. And the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin at Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they that lead you shall cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for you have eaten up the vineyard and the spoil of the poor as in your houses. What mean ye that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, says the Lord of God of hosts. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with, stretch forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of their head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments and their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of a well-set hair baldness, instead of a stomacher a girding of sackcloth, and a burning instead of a beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. There's a whole bunch in here. Ooh. Judgment, judgment, judgment. Judgment, judgment, judgment. And judgment to some and justice to others. Okay, now we'll go back and see what it really says. Let's unscramble it and dig into what the Spirit has for us. First word, because. Behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and Judah. Who is Jerusalem and Judah? We're cutting through all the Old Testament stuff and going to the New Covenant now. In the Old Testament, there were three parts to the tabernacle, weren't there? There were three covenants. But that first covenant, the dust covenant, got encompassed into the second covenant. Just like the tabernacle, there's no more outer court. Now you're just a holy place in the Holy of Holies. Okay? You need a drink of honey. Couldn't pass that one up. Okay, so he's talking Jerusalem, Judah. He's talking about everybody now. He said, I'm talking about everybody. because Jerusalem and Judah covers everybody now in the new covenant. And the stay of, and the staff and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Literally the word stay talks about their supply, and the staff talks about their support. So he says, I'm going to take away your supply and your support, the whole supply of bread. What is bread? It's the word of God. And the whole support of water. What is water also? The word. So he said, I'm going to take away everything you got. I'm going to leave you high and dry with no support, no supply of anything. I'm going to put you on your own because that's the only way you're going to grow up. Do you realize that? See, the church takes this as a terrible thing, but God is enforcing now the new covenant. He's instituting now the new covenant. And in the new covenant, in the Old Testament, the priest did everything for you, didn't they? But now it's time for us to do something. We are the kings and priests now. And we are to learn to grow up. There's always going to be a few grow up before others. That's just the way it is. So now we're no longer playing this game of religion and having somebody do everything for us. Now we have to learn to do it for ourselves. Okay, that's what God wants us to understand. He wants us to become healthy, mature adults and members of society. Okay? In the natural as well as the spiritual. And he says, the mighty man or the powerful man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent man or the false prophet's what it should say, and the old man, the captain of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, and the wise craftsman, and the perceptive charmer, that's what it should say. When it says eloquent orator, it should say perceptive charmer. And I will give children to be their princes and babes, or literally impulsive, immature children, shall rule over them. And that's what's going on today. See, it's in the church world, but we're also going to see it within ourselves. That who do you think that immature, impulsive child is? It's my soul. My immature soul that wants what it wants. It's the ego of man. It wants what it wants and it doesn't make any difference. Like a little baby that cries and throws fits because they don't get what they want. See? And that's what humanity is full of today. The church is full of it because the church is purporting that thing. They refuse God and His Word, don't they? They want to do it their way, not God's way. That's why He said He'd give babies to rule over them. So the childish, immature, impulsive children, that's the ones that's ruling over them right now. Because they said, give us a king, didn't they? Give us a king. He said, they're going to do all these bad things to you. He said, Saul's going to do them all to you. Doesn't make any difference. We want to be like everybody else. Well, I want you to be special. Be like me. No, we want to be like the rest of the people in the world. Okay, there you go. Verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another. Did it say some of them? They're all going to be oppressed by another. And every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly or arrogant against the ancient, and the dishonorable against the honorable. Now, don't we see that today in society? We see it in the church, because the church has been, the child in us has been disrespectful to who? Our Father. If it's in the spirit, guess where else it'll be? It'll be in the natural. So everything that's taking place in us as an individual will be the same thing in the church. It'll be the same thing in the world. And that's what's going on today. We're just seeing it spread worldwide because everybody has accepted that as the status quo. That's okay because everybody does it. Everybody justifies and say, well, that's just the way I am. There's no excuse for that. God didn't put us here to let us be the way we are. He put us here to take a journey, and on this journey we're supposed to change. Just like my little card that I hand out with our name and address and websites and everything. Change. That's all this gospel is about. It's changing us from our natural state back to our spiritual state. Because we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. Aren't we? See, everybody's got it backwards. We got to slow down and realize what God is trying to show us. If we disrespect what God shows us, then we're going to receive the reward of the child. And what's a child receive? Correction. Not destruction, correction. Okay, verse 6. When a man, or said, should because a man shall, it should be because a man shall take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing. Do you think this is talking about two brothers out here? It says in the house of his father. Who are we talking about? It's the church, see? And they're going to take hold of something. And Lord, today I see it all the time. I won't say names, but around us there's all kinds of ministries. And they just grab someone out of the crowd and say, hey, you look like you're profitable. And that's what they do. You look like you've got a little profit in you or something, you know. And I'm saying P-R-O-F-I-T, not P-R-O-P-H-E-T. But they see you're financially doing good, so you must be blessed, so you be our preacher. And that's exactly what they're saying. That's what the church world does. And see, and now we take it inside from that picture. And we do the same thing. The people look at someone and says, you're profitable, so God must be blessing you. That has nothing to do with it. Go look at the mafia. Look at the drug dealers. They got more than anybody, don't they? The politicians. Don't tell me that's a blessing of God. They're a bunch of crooks. And he says, thou hast clothing, or literally a mantle or an anointing, be our ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. Or literally the word ruin, you know what it is? Overthrown kingdom. Let this overthrown kingdom be under your hand. Say, we've took this thing, we've had a mutiny, we've took over the kingdom. And you know how many people really believe they've done that? They really, most people don't believe they've done it, but yet the leadership knows they've took it themselves.
They're helping Jesus.
They're helping him. And he didn't want your sacrifice, did he? He wants your obedience. Pure and simple. He says, in that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be your, what? Not healer, but ruler. I will not be your ruler, because in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Huh? Verse 7.
Ours reads different than yours.
What's it say?
It says, I cannot cure your ears.
Yeah, I'll cure your ears.
Well, it says healer there. It literally says, I will not be your ruler, because in my house is neither bread nor clothing. We know that he said, in my house there's neither bread, that's the word of God, nor clothing, that's the mantle or the righteousness. Okay? We're to wear his righteousness, right? He said, there's not there. Make me not a ruler of the people. So the guy's saying, hey, don't give it to me. I don't want the responsibility. Do you know how many people shun the responsibility of being a ruler? A lot of them.
They just want the title. They don't want the responsibility.
Yep. Let me stand up in the pulpit and yell and scream and tell you how bad you are and how long you're going to burn in hell. But don't put no responsibility on me. That's the word most people do not like, responsibility. Because it takes some accountability and takes some real pressure to stand under that, and they can't do it. And if God hasn't put the character in you and raised up a character in you, the quality of character of his son, could you stand under that pressure? It's impossible. But yet they try it. And what they do, that's why you see so many ministries collapsing and so many ministries running back to the world to say, call me, I'll come get your money. Oh, goodness. I won't go any farther with that. Verse 8, because Jerusalem not is ruined, but Jerusalem has stumbled. And Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their actions are against the Lord, to rebel against the appearance of his glory. I'm going to read that one again. Because Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their actions are against the Lord, to rebel against the appearance of his glory. See, when God's glory appears, what's going to happen to the flesh? What's going to happen to that carnal mind? That fleshly thinking. When his glory appears, You've lost all control, haven't you? You're not in control any longer. And how many people in their mind really want to give up control? Very, very few.
Such a wrestling when it appears.
That's right. That's the great earthquake, greater than any earthquake since the time of man. The earth begins to quake between our ears. Verse 9. The expression of their, not countenance, but the expression of their face does witness against them. I got an email just recently and someone said, have a happy day and don't forget to communicate with your face.
Yeah, it's been popping up a lot lately.
Yeah.
Don't forget to tell your face.
Don't forget to tell your face you're having a happy day. So he says here that the expression of their face does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe to their soul, because they have brought, not rewarded, but brought evil to themselves. See, it's self-inflicted. Everything we do, God didn't say he's just going to beat you up because he wants to beat you up. You reap what you sow in this new covenant. God's not into punishing. You reap what you sow. If you sow seeds of discord and sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption according to the scriptures, right? I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. God said it, and that's it. He's just like saying, that plate over there, that stove over there is red hot. If you touch it, it's going to burn you. Go touch it and see. If you don't believe it, go ahead and touch it. And they still go over and touch it, don't they?
Over
and over and over again.
They're continuously eating of the tree of
knowledge of good and evil. They can't help it because they can't hear what God said.
They talk themselves into believing that it won't burn me this time.
Yeah, I'm going to see it this time. And isn't that the definition of insanity?
Mm-hmm.
Doing the same thing every day and expecting a different result?
Don't they believe that liar?
Yep, they believe the liar. Absolutely. Verse 10. Say to the just, or the righteous or the just, that it shall be well with him, because they shall eat the fruit of their actions. Now there's one good verse in there, and that's all it takes. God says, say to the just, it will be well with them, and they shall eat the fruit of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Now come on, that's good enough, isn't it? He don't have to waste any time, because there's not very many listening anyway. But he spends most of the time telling you and warning you of the things that's going to happen if you don't do the right thing. He didn't say you have to do it, did he? He's saying, here's the way it is, and if you choose not to do it, then okay. He's not mad at anybody. Verse 11. Woe. Woe to the wicked. It shall be bad, ill or bad with him, because the reward of his hand shall be given him. So he's saying, whether you do good or evil, that's what you're going to receive. If you sow seeds of evil, what will you get?
Evil.
Sow seeds of good, you get good things. It's like you plant corn and you won't get beans, will you? You plant potatoes, you're not going to get tomatoes.
You reap what you sow.
That's a law of physics. Seed produces like kind. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Now, what's it saying when it says children is their oppressors?
Immature.
Immaturity, there it is. That's the key word. Immaturity is the thing that oppresses us. Not just the person. See, we're not talking about somebody oppressing me. It's my immaturity oppressing me. Do you understand that? As long as we stay immature, we're under oppression, aren't we? Because we're making our own decisions. We're not listening to what God is telling us, are we? Okay. So the oppression comes from immaturity. And women rule over them, or the soul. As long as I'm immature, the soul is going to rule over me. Even in the natural, the young son, though he be Lord of all, it says in Paul's writings, he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, isn't he?
Yeah.
See, until I grow up, I'm going to be under tutors and governors. I'm going to be under that woman until I come to maturity. When the son becomes a man, he's no longer under tutors and governors, is he? When he grows up and puts on that mind of Christ.
So it goes back to the Father chooses.
He chooses the time till the time appointed of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. Right there it is. You're listening to someone lead you instead of taking care of leading yourself. See? Work out your own deliverance with fear and respect. With reverence and respect, I should say. See? Everybody's got to learn to do it. He said, I give you apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors who teach. Yeah, that's fine. But to a certain point, then we've got to do it ourselves, don't we? We've got to take this initiative, grab the bull by the horns, and start doing something ourselves. No matter what I tell you, and God knows I'm only trying to tell you the truth to help you, but if you don't go back and verify what I'm saying, you may as well be listening to a dog bark out on the side of the hill somewhere. It won't do you no more good, will it? Because you're taking Dave's word for it instead of listening to what God says. I want you to understand that what I'm saying is truth, but I want you to verify it. I don't fear challenge. Challenge me on what I say. That's great. You'll just make me more confident. You'll make me absolutely have to know what I'm saying. That's a great thing to be challenged. I take it as an honor to be challenged. And most people get offended at challenge. I like it. It makes me know who I am. Just reinforces me. Verse 13. The Lord stands up to what? Not plead. He stands up to defend. And the word, the next word, stand, shouldn't even be there. The Lord stands up to defend and to judge the people. Now, the people. Who would the people be? How about all? All, everybody. Okay? And we know this. When the Lord stood up to judge, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The judgment's already been made. Hello?
Yeah, not guilty.
Not guilty. See, the judge can give you one or two verdicts, guilty or not guilty. And he already said, by me dying, Father, the rest of them's not guilty. I've already paid for their sin. That's why he said back here in the first chapter, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They be red like crimson. They will be wool like wool. Because I'm going to clean you up. He already knew it. And we're stepping on over into the new covenant here now. Verse 14. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people. This is beautiful. He said he will enter into judgment with the ancients of people. What's the ancients speak of?
Maturity.
What'd you say? Wise, well, mature is wise, same thing. So the mature and the wise of his people and the princes thereof, that's leaders, right? Now, didn't he say you will live and rule and reign with me on the throne? You will sit on the throne with me and live and rule and reign? Isn't that what he's saying right here? He's going to, judgment seat was a seat of rulership, wasn't it? In the Old Testament, wasn't that a seat of rulership? The judgment and ruler was the same person? The king ruled and did everything. Go on to say in 14, because you have eaten of the vineyard. You have eaten up the vineyard. That's not a good thing. Should say, because you've eaten up my church. You've destroyed my people, haven't you? And the spoil or the robbery of the poor or the depressed in mind and circumstances is in your houses. He's talking to people that has robbed the people. And boy, there's a long list, isn't there? The churches, the ministries that have robbed the people, fleeced the sheep, okay? They butchered the sheep and eaten them. They didn't just take their fleece, they killed them. They ate them up, destroyed them. Verse 15, what do you mean by beating my people to pieces and grinding their faces, the faces of the depressed in mind and circumstances, says the Lord God of hosts? What do you mean doing this to my people? Legitimate question, huh? How many preachers can answer that one? They won't even see it. They won't even read it. If they read it, they have no understanding. Moreover, the Lord says, pay attention. Should say, pay attention, because the daughters of Zion or the souls of Zion are haughty and they live with stretched forth necks. What does the stretched forth neck represent?
Pride,
arrogance, hard-headedness. You know, when he says stiff neck, stretched out, their pride and arrogant, lifting themselves up. and wanton or seductive eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. What is that saying? They're drawing attention to their lifestyle. Look at me. Look at what I have on. Look at the clothes I wear. I'm a good Christian person because I wear a skirt that comes clear to my ankles and sleeves that come clear to my wrists, but I wear a slit up the side of my skirt that shows the rear end of my body. Huh? Makes sense, don't it? Yeah. Go ahead and show your body from the side view, but you can't see it anywhere else. Come on. I wear my hair on top of my head, so that makes me righteous, right? I wear a thing around my neck that says, I love Jesus. Or I wear a t-shirt. Or I wear a wristband. Come on. You think this has anything to do with righteousness?
A three-piece
suit. I told somebody just yesterday, preaching. He said, are you still preaching? I said, as long as I'm breathing. But preaching is not the words coming from my mouth. It's the lifestyle that I live to show people every day how I how I respect and treat people every day of my life. That's preaching. See, that's good preaching. But this yelling and screaming and telling you you got to dress a certain way, you got to have a certain kind of hair, that's stupid. Can't wear makeup, can wear makeup, that's all foolishness. Has nothing to do with what God's doing. None of that has it. Then you're telling me, if you tell me I need to be saved, then you're telling me that God sent His Son to the cross for nothing. And that's insane. And I can get excited about this, but I'll try to hold myself back till we get through. Therefore, because of what they're doing, he said, therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab, an ugly beginning of healing. And that's what it is. See, he said, I'm going to smite you on the head with a scab. You get a scab on your head because you've been whacked on the head, right? You know why he hits you in the head? Because your head's your problem. It's not your feet and it's not your hands or any other anatomy of your body, but it's the brain in that head. And he said, I'm going to smite you on top of the head, and a scab is a beginning of a healing, is it not? So thank God for that scab on your head that you're going to get. Well, but see, he said, what I'm saying is, he's going to start healing you. Even if you're stupid and do all those stupid religious things, I am still going to clean you up. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow.
And he's going to make it better.
He's going to turn it around. Like a man said to me years ago, all the things you did, God's just going to turn into rocket fuel to propel you into the kingdom. Okay? Man didn't even know what he was saying, but he said the truth. Okay? No matter what I did, all that prepared me, didn't it? Everything that we do prepares us. But he's going to put a scab on the crown of the head, okay, of the mind, of the souls of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. He will reveal or uncover their secret parts. He's not talking about exposing their physical bodies. Come on. He's exposing those things in their minds. He's going to expose all those secrets that you got in your mind that you think are so terrible or so wicked or so evil that nobody knows about. Well, let me tell you something. Let me clue you in. You got the same DNA I got. We came from the same father. We came from the same natural man, Adam, and you got all the traits that he had, and so do I. You know what? But they're changing. But they're changing. It's okay. Not willingly. Not willingly. We're all subjected to vanity, not willingly. Correct. And God put us there for us to learn something. So I'm going to learn all I can learn. And I'm going to try to help everybody learn as much as I can. But you still got to do it yourself. We can't have the baby bird syndrome. We got to get rid of that. That's the way the church world is. You just sit there and eat whatever I throw down your neck. Just swallow it and go on with it. And don't you dare question me. That's insanity. Well, we're not baby birds. Okay, verse 18. In that day, and what day is it? The Lord's day. What day is the Lord's day?
Now.
Every day, right now. And it's right now, every day, right now. When you wake up in the morning, it'll still be the Lord's day. And every day you do wake up, will still be the Lord's day. In that day, the Lord will take away not the bravery, but the beauty of their tinkling ornaments about their feet. See, they're drawing attention to themselves. He said, they're going to take it away. You ain't going to have any beauty. And their calls. Do you know what the word calls really stands for?
Curses, scarves, and crescents.
It's headbands and things on their head to decorate their head.
Oh, that crescent religion or something.
Well, let me get to it as I go. It's hair pins and stuff like that in their hair, and it calls. And the round tire, and their round tires like moons. And literally, it's a pendant for their neck that looks like a moon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like
crosses.
Like cross. Well, that's on here too, probably, but let me get to it. But anyway, it's that round symbol of the moon. See, they were moon worshipers. They were worshipers of the stars and moon and the sun and animals and everything else, you know. And it covers every branch of religion you can talk about right here in this little passage of Scripture, next few verses, four or five verses.
Idolatry.
All idolatry, every bit of it. Verse 19, it says, the chains, and literally it should say earrings. The earrings and the bracelets and the long veils, not the mufflers, but the long veils. Boy, ain't the world full of that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
The bonnets or the fancy headdress. And the ornaments, or the ankle chains, what should I say, ornaments of the legs, ankle chains. And the headbands. The headbands should say sashes and girdles. And the tablets, and the not the earrings, but the amulets. They hang around their neck with the little stuff in it, you know, to keep ward off evil. You know how people carry things like garlic and different fluids and little things around vials?
The stones for healing, like yeah. The New Age stones.
But all that stuff they carry, said you're trusting in something that can't heal you. The only thing that's going to heal you is God. God's not talking about physical healing anyway. He's talking about spiritual healing. See, and everybody mixes it all together. Verse 21. The rings and the nose jewels. Right? 22. The changeable suits of apparel, or the stately robes, and the mantles, or the cloaks, and the wimples. What is a wimple? Well, literally it says a wide cloak for women.
Well,
this is an outer garment. Yeah, it's an outer garment. Well, because women had children with them, they had babies with them, pregnant women, they were a bigger thing to cover them. That's all it was. Special, though, for women. Something special for women, something special for men. And crisping pins. What's a crisping pin? It's a money purse. Something to carry their money in. And you know, if you had that special one with a cross on it, or WWJD, it would be special, right? And I know I get some comments on that, and I don't care. Because it's not WWJD, it's what WDJD. What did he do? If you knew what he already did, you wouldn't be asking what he would do. Because he isn't doing anything anymore, because the last thing he said was, it's finished. He's not doing anything. What are you going to do?
I'm going to be trusting in your purpose.
Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're trusting in their own money instead of him. And they can pick at that all they want to. I don't care. Verse 23. The glasses. The word glasses is hand mirrors. So they can sit and see how pretty they are. Okay? We're not talking about someone putting on makeup or something, normal life situation. But they're sitting and looking at themselves and saying, look how much better I am than the rest of them. The arrogance and the pride of it. And I can't read that word I wrote, the fine linen. And I wrote my writings in a way I can't read it. And the hoods, or the turbans and the veils. He said, I'm going to take away everything. I'm going to take everything you trust. You know, if God took away everything that humanity trusts in, all their religious idols, all their trinkets, all their doctrines, all their stuff that they talk about and trust in, you know what would be left?
They'd be hiding in the bushes like that.
No, you know what would be left?
Christ.
There you go. It would be nothing but God left, the Christ. If the sons would take everything away from them, all they got left is Christ. And isn't that the point? That's the whole point. But they don't want it. They don't want to give it up.
Because it is finished.
And it is finished.
They don't believe that. They think they got to do.
Because they don't believe he finished it.
Yeah. We got to add to it.
Can't do it. We can't add to it. Verse 24. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a stink. Oh, yeah. Instead of a girdle, a rope. Instead of a nice fancy girdle, they got a rope. They're losing everything. And instead of a well set of hair, they'll be bald. And instead of a expensive robe, instead of expensive robe, a girding of sackcloth. And a scar instead of beauty. You know, when a scab falls off, what's it usually leave?
Scar.
A scar. Well, you know what? That's okay. And didn't Paul talk about caring about those scars and wounds in his body from all that he went through for Christ? It's okay. Those are signs of beauty to the right eye. Verse 25, your men shall fall by the sword, by the word of God. Correct? Because he said so. And you're mighty in the war. The only war there is, my mighty man, there's only one way he can go down in that war, and that's by the word of God. Is that true or false? The man inside of me, the natural man, has to fall by the word of God. Not by someone sticking a sword in me, because that did not change the way I think. Someone cutting my head off would not change the way I thought, would it? It would not revamp my thinking process. The only thing that will do that is the word of God. Like Jesus said in John 8, 31, 32, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciplined ones indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But only the truth you know will set you free. And that's what he's telling us right here. So my mighty man has to die.
Where was it again?
John 8, 31, 32. And her gates, okay, shall lament or groan. What is a gate?
Your ears, your eyes,
your mouth, your nose. So your gates is openings.
Your senses.
Yep. They shall groan and mourn, lament and mourn, and she, the soul, being desolate, see, what? What's it say? Now let me show you something else. And she, being the soul, being desolate, shall remain in the earth.
The dust
shall return to the earth from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12.
That whole last part is all. She went from haughtiness and pride to
humility. Of being humbled. The soul did was humbled right into the earth. And the spirit is exalted into God. It's a beautiful passage. I mean, but you have to understand it before it does you any good. Because all you're going to see is what the world teaches us about condemnation and guilt. And God's going to judge you and throw you into hell. Was hell ever mentioned in here? But I guarantee you, 99% of the preachers that preach that passage of Scripture will tell you that's hell. You're going to hell for this.
Well, that scab on your head will feel like hell.
Yeah, but that ain't it. See? It's what the preachers have set forth in your mind. They have drawn pictures and purported them all over the world. And people who's never been in the church would still think that would be hell when they hear it, because they've heard it from a preacher. And they think because someone stands up and says, I'm a preacher, that makes them a preacher. Years ago, I went to a funeral of my father-in-law. And as I preached his funeral, before I preached the funeral, some of the ladies there that went to a church that my brother attended, and they asked who the preacher was, and he said, it's my brother-in-law. And I liked what he had to say because it was the truth. And they said, well, what kind of a preacher is he? And he looked at him and said, he's a real preacher. And I believe that. Because I'm not being swayed by financial situations. I'm not being swayed by numbers. The only thing I'm doing is telling the truth. End of story. Right there. And if they can't handle it, it's not my issue. My issue is speaking the truth. Jesus came with that same goal, to speak the truth. That's all he did. He spoke truth. And he was killed for it. And I don't think I'll be treated a whole lot better. There's always a few that'll love you, but the rest of them will hate you. It's okay. It's all right. That's the goal. That's the pattern. So nothing to be upset about. And you got to remember exactly what he said. All the times that they tried to kill him prior to his crucifixion, what did he say? It's not yet my time. Okay. I don't have to worry about it. When it's my time, I'm going, and then nothing can stop it. And when it's not my time, I have nothing to worry about. I don't even consider it. I don't consider dying in a car wreck. I don't consider being shot. I don't consider about plane crashes or terrorists coming and getting me, because I don't think they can get to me unless God permit. I don't believe it. And I know it's true according to His Word. Nothing happens outside the control of God. If He's in control of all things, then what is anybody else in control of? They're a puppet on a string and they don't know it. They're bringing forth His purpose in the earth. So if they attack me, it's for my benefit. Not for me to defend myself, but for me to watch God work and do something in my life. I'm done. Any questions or comments?